Well, welcome to the start of a new decade. 2020, doesn't that just sound strange coming off of your lips? Welcome to the year 2020. I heard a pastor say this past Sunday, we attended another church, and he said, welcome to the roaring 20s. Welcome to the roaring 20s. And he said, if we're lucky, some of you might get to relive the 80s. How cool would that be? That's awesome. That's all right. And while today is just another day, there is something about a new year and also a new decade that symbolizes a fresh start, that symbolizes a clean slate. And I'd venture to say that all of us in this room this morning have New Year's resolutions or even new decade resolutions that we would all like to see come to pass. Maybe this year or this next decade, you're resolving to eat better or to exercise more or to exchange some bad habit for a good habit or to change your way of thinking or to become healthy in some other area of your life. You see, new year or new decade resolutions, they're not a bad thing. They are a good thing, even if we do change just a little bit. What about spiritually? A new year and a new decade, they also present new opportunities to start fresh spiritually. Maybe this year or this next decade, you want to love others in a new way. You want to love others more. Maybe this next year you want to grow in your faith somehow. Maybe this next year you want to read more of the incredible Word of God. Or maybe this next year you would like to share your faith more. And these are all great things as well. And while most resolutions, they usually deal with some sort of physical resolution towards, you know, health. But I believe that our greatest resolutions for 2020 and beyond should be for our spiritual health. Paul says this. Paul says, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So it begs this question, how can we grow spiritually in godliness in 2020? What should we be going after as a church in 2020 and also in the decade to come? What vision should we have for our lives in the 20s and also the 30s and the 40s if God would allow us to live that long? Proverbs 29:18 says this. It says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. And you may have heard this verse in the King James Version, which reads like this. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And so often, this verse is misunderstood or even misquoted. People will often say about this verse, if there is no vision or if there is no great visionary leader, the people of God will not know which direction to take. But this verse is not talking about following some great vision from man or following some great visionary leader. This verse that I just read is talking about following the Word of God. This verse is saying the vision that we have for our lives should come directly from the Word of God. And by following the Word of God, our lives will be blessed. The NLT says it like this. It says, when people do not accept divine guidance, and divine guidance is the Word of God. When people do not accept divine guidance, it says, they run wild. It says they run wild when they don't follow the Word of God. But it goes on to say, but whoever obeys the law, which is the Word of God, whoever obeys the Word, whoever obeys the law, it says, is joyful. So in other words, if we want to have good spiritual health in this decade and beyond, It starts with following and obeying the incredible word of God. Psalm 1 says this, and we've read this psalm before, but Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. His delight is in the law of the Lord." You could say it like this. "His delight is in the word of God. And on his law, he meditates day and night." And here is the result of one whose delight is in the word of God. It says this, "He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." Again, a strong spiritual health. It goes back to delighting in and following the incredible word of God. And what I want to do this morning, as we kick off a new year and also a new decade, I want to take us back to our basics as a church. And here's the question that I am asking. How can we as a church grow in spiritual health in 2020 and also in the decade beyond? And this morning, I want to remind us as a church of our mission and also of our vision and our values that we have as a church that come directly from the Word of God. Again, this is not my vision. These come directly from the incredible Word of God. And I submit to you this morning that if we live out our mission, if we live out this vision, if we live out these values by the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us, I submit to you that this year and the years to come will be banner years for the glory of God. So what is the mission of Lake Center Baptist Church? And you can write this down. The mission is this: Lake Center Baptist Church exists to glorify God by introducing all peoples to Jesus Christ and growing them up to love and worship Him. Read that out loud with me. Again, Lake Center Baptist Church exists to glorify God by introducing all peoples to Jesus Christ and growing them up to love and worship Him. And this is why we as a church exist. And at the exact same time, this is why you exist as well. You see, you and I were created, we were created to love and to worship God. And we're at the same time, we are created and called to introduce others to God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, it's so easy, and I've experienced this in my own life personally, it's so easy in this life to get caught up into things that just don't matter. But I submit to you this morning that if we focus our lives on this mission to glorify God by introducing all peoples to Jesus Christ and growing them up to love and to worship Him, that you and I will have a banner decade and a banner year for the glory of God. So how can you and I fulfill this mission? And you can write this down. I believe that it all starts with worship. It all starts with worship. In our vision of how we want to live worship out, it reads like this. We will love and worship God. Therefore, we will gather corporately each week and love and worship God every day of our lives. And this is the great command in the Bible. This is the great command in the Word of God, to love and to worship God. In Deuteronomy, Moses told the children of Israel, and Jesus quoted this scripture as well. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." And loving God with all of our heart and loving God with all of our soul and loving God with all of our might, what is that? That is worship. You see, you and I, church family, we were created to worship God. This is why we were made. Isaiah 43, God says, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. You see, church family, when you and I make the worship of God off of us and puts the priority in our lives, what happens? This takes the focus off of us and puts the focus on where it should be, on God. So how can we worship God? Of course, we worship God by loving him with all that we have, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our might. We can worship God by the way that we love other people and live our life for him. We can worship God by spending time alone with him in the Word of God and by praying to him in a quiet time. We can worship God by going for a walk and spending just some quiet moments alone with God on a walk, talking to him. You can worship God by serving him, by using or singing to him in the car. You can worship God by serving him, by using your gifts and your talents to glorify God. You see, there are a plethora of ways that you and I can worship God. And one of the greatest ways that you and I can worship God is to make corporate worship, like we are doing here today, to make corporate worship, just like we're doing here in this moment, to make it our highest priority. The writer of Hebrews says this, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And I have found personally in my own life that whenever I make the corporate worship of God my top priority, that things just seem to go so much smoother for me. So we worship God. Next, if we want to focus our lives on what matters this decade, I believe that we should focus on evangelism. You can write that down, that we should focus on evangelism, worship, giving worship to God, but also sharing the love of God. And our vision of how we want to live evangelism out, it reads like this: "We will reach people with the gospel. Therefore, we will spread the message of Jesus Christ verbally and by the way we live our daily lives." Paul says it like this: "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent?" That word "sent" is very important. I would underline that in your Bibles or circle that. That's a very important word. How are they to preach unless they are sent? We are sent. As children of God, as the people of God, you and I are sent. As it is written, Paul goes on to say, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." And you might hear that word "preach" and think, "Oh man, I am off the hook." But guess what? This word "preach" that Paul uses here in this text, it's the Greek word keruso. And you know what it means? It means herald. It means one who proclaims the gospel, one who proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not referring to me. It's not referring to a preacher in a church. You see, as followers of Christ, we are all sent as a herald. We are all sent with the gospel. We are all sent with the good news of Jesus Christ. We are all called to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ forgives, that Jesus Christ forgives sin. You see, you and I are sent to do the work of evangelism as we go every single day of our lives. Dr. Tom Rainier recently wrote an article about church trends, he says, that will take place in 2020. He says this: "Evangelism will return to its rightful place of importance and priority." He says, "Too many churches have been doing good things while they are neglecting the priority of evangelism." He says, "Good becomes the enemy of great. In fact, many church leaders and members think they are evangelistic simply because they have community-invited events." He writes, "Evangelism is the explicit sharing of the gospel message in the power of the Holy Spirit." I want to read that line again. He says, "Evangelism is the explicit sharing of the gospel message in the power of the Holy Spirit. He says evangelism will return to its place of prominence in many churches. And my prayer is that the sharing of the gospel, my prayer is that evangelism would not be a trend. That it would not be a trend that comes in the church and leaves the church. No, my prayer is that evangelism would always be a part of our lives. That it wouldn't be a trend that comes and goes. Rather, that evangelism is something that we would always be about, because we as a people, we are sent with the gospel. We are sent with the good news. Why? Because there are people all around us who need Jesus Christ. They are all around us, church family. We come into contact with them every single day. And as much as we are called to evangelize those around us, we are called to go to other nations. Guess what? We are going back to David, Panama, to tell people about Jesus Christ. We are going back to this country to tell people that Jesus Christ forgives sin. And this year, in 2020, would you consider going with us? You might think to yourself, Caleb, there's no way. I can't go on a mission trip. Yes. You see, we are all called. Would you consider just praying about that? God, would you have me to go on that trip this coming November? Let me just tell you, it is a life-changing trip. God will do an incredible work in your heart and in your life on that trip. Dr. Paul Chitwood, president of the International Mission Board, he says this, every church, regardless of size or resources, has a role to play in reaching every nation. And he says, and the nations are waiting. We as the people of God, we are sent. We're sent here, and at the same time, we are sent there to the nations. And I believe that you and I will have a banner year. We will have a banner decade for the glory of God when we center our lives on the worship of God and also on telling people about Jesus Christ. Next, as well as ministry, we're called to worship, we're called to evangelize the lost, and we're called to do ministry. In our vision of how we want to live ministry out, it reads like this. We will serve the purposes of God. Therefore, we will serve in ministry inside the walls of the church and outside the walls of the church. Jesus himself said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." You see, Jesus, he came to this earth as a servant. I love the story in John chapter 13. Remember that story? Jesus, he takes a towel and a wash basin, and he goes around and he washes the disciples. Remember that story? And to wash someone's feet during this time, this was reserved for the role of the lowest slaves. And after Jesus washes the disciples' feet, notice what he said. He says, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." He says, "For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done for you." You see, as Jesus serves, as he came to this earth as a servant, as he came to this earth as a slave, he calls you and I, church family, to do the exact same thing. Listen, you want to have the greatest year of your life? You want to have the greatest decade of your life? Then focus your life on serving the purposes of God. You see, you will find true and meaningful life when you give your life away by serving other people. We're called to serve. We're called to do ministry. Also in 2020, as a church and beyond, I would love for us to focus on knocking down the mortgage that we have remaining on this wonderful church facility that God has blessed us with. You see, if we can free up some of the money that is going towards the building loan, it would allow us to do more in ministry. It was the original loan on this facility, and I believe I have some numbers up for you. The original loan on this facility was around $850,000, and that was in 2013, around seven, of course, years ago. And since then, we as a church have paid down around $484,000 in principal. That's in 7 years. And that is something incredible. That is something to celebrate. And that leaves us with a remaining balance on our current loan of around a little over $366,000. And I would love for us in 2020 and also in the next few years after this to start knocking some of this down in a great, great way. So here's what I'm asking all of us in this room to think about today. Above your tithes and offerings, would you consider giving monthly towards this loan in 2020 and beyond? Last year, as a church, you gave over $130,000 and paid cash for this much-needed new bathroom project. And that is something to celebrate. We give all the praise and all the glory to God for that. But what if we could put that much and more on our loan this next year? And maybe the next 3 years, we can nearly pay off this mortgage and become debt-free as a church the next few years. And that would free us up as a church financially in a great way to be able to do more ministry for the glory of God. You and I will have a banner year and a banner decade for the glory of God when we center our lives on the things of God, doing ministry, serving His purposes, giving to His purposes, on evangelism, on telling people about Jesus Christ, on worship, and also on fellowship. On fellowship. And our vision of how we want to live fellowship out reads like this. We will do life together. We will do life together. Therefore, we will be involved in smaller groups that meet regularly. And this is exactly how the early church grew. The early church grew as a result of godly fellowship. Acts chapter 2 says this, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common." And it says, "And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their home, praising God, fellowship. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Day by day, as a direct result of biblical fellowship, they were seeing salvations happening among them. And why in the world should we value something like fellowship? Why should fellowship be a priority for us as a church? And here's why, church family. Because we need each other. We need each other. I need you. I need you in my life. You need me in your life. We need each other. This is the way that we are wired. It's the way that God made us. Personally, in my own life, I have found that, I've said this before, I have found that I am most content, I am most satisfied in my life when I am with the people of God doing the things of God. I'm most content in my heart, I'm most satisfied whenever I am with the people of God, singing His praises, studying His word, praying for one another, doing life together. I am most content when I am doing things like that. Why am I like that? Why? Because that is the way that God made me. That's the way that God made you as well. You see, you will find utmost joy and satisfaction in your life when you are doing life with other believers in Christ. So it begs this question, how can we have true, biblical, life-giving fellowship here at Lake Center Baptist Church? Well, there are many ways. You see, just like you're doing here today, whenever you worship corporately, you are participating in biblical fellowship. Whenever you are growing in a discipleship class alongside other believers, you are participating in biblical fellowship. Whenever you're serving alongside others in ministry, you are entering into biblical fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. In a very practical way, to experience true biblical life-giving fellowship is to join a home fellowship group. You see, we have groups who are meeting monthly all over the area. And if you're not a part of one of these home groups, I just want to encourage you to consider signing up to be a part of one of those. And you can do that today in the foyer. And I believe that you and I will have a better year and a better decade for the glory of God when we center our lives on doing life together, on things like fellowship and ministry and evangelism and giving God worship as He is worthy of that. And also by focusing our lives on discipleship. Discipleship. In our vision of how we want to live discipleship out, it reads like this: we will grow in the things of God. Therefore, we will relentlessly devote ourselves to learn and live out the Word of God. Some of the last words that Jesus ever spoke on this earth were centered on discipleship. And you've heard this verse 100 times, but it's all about discipleship. He says, go therefore and what? Make what? He says, go therefore and make what? Disciples. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. That's here, it's there, it's everywhere. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we often forget this verse, this next verse, verse 20. But this verse is centered on discipleship. He says, teaching them. What is that? That is discipleship. That's growing in your faith. He says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. That's the Word of God. He says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Again, this verse, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, it's all about growing in our faith personally, and at the same time, helping others to grow in their faith as well. You see, we are called to grow in discipleship, and at the same time, we are called to make disciples. So here's a question that I'm asking myself, and here's a question that I'm asking all of us in this room this morning. What steps are you willing to take to grow in your discipleship in 2020? Just think about it for this year. What steps are you willing to take to grow in your discipleship as we are called to do in the Word of God in 2020? Maybe it's to start reading the Word of God several times a week. I'm just telling you, you make a priority to read this incredible book several times a week and to meditate on it and to memorize it and to do your best to apply it to your life. This book will change your life, and you will grow in discipleship by doing that. Maybe it's to start reading the Word of God. Maybe you need to start coming to the large group Sunday school class. Maybe you need to sign up for one of our discipleship classes that will be starting in February, and you can do that in the foyer today before you leave. We have the large group Sunday school class that studies different books of the Bible, and this class meets year-round. Again, we're offering a class called Shape, which teaches how your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities and personality and life experiences all come together to form who you are and how you can be used for the glory of God. We're offering a class called Growing in Christ, and this class will help you to grow in the basic doctrines of the faith. It's a great, great study. We're also offering a class called The Peacemaker. And this class teaches you how to deal with conflict in a God-honoring way. You see, if you have a pulse, you're going to have conflict at times in your life. You will deal with conflict. Conflict will come your way. And this class, The Peacemaker, will teach you how to deal with conflict in a way that points to the fame of God, that points to the glory of God. Again, the question that I'm asking myself and that I'm asking all of us: how are you going to grow in discipleship in 2020? And again, I believe that you and I will have a better decade for the glory of God, for the fame of God, whenever we center our lives on these things. Things like discipleship, growing in our faith, fellowship, doing life together, ministry, serving the purposes of God, evangelism, telling people about Jesus Christ, and worship, making much of the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And lastly, my prayer. My prayer. And our vision of how we want to be a praying people, it reads like this. We will desperately depend on God. I'm going to read that again. We will desperately depend on God. Why should we do that? Why should we desperately depend on God? Because we need Him, right? We desperately need God. We can't do anything on our own. We will desperately depend on God. Therefore, we will be a people who pray for the glory and guidance of God in everything we do. Again, we cannot do anything without an utter dependence on God. Nothing. Jesus Himself says, and this is one of my life verses. I would encourage you to go to your Bible and to circle this verse, to underline this verse. This is a verse that has brought me through so many trials, through so many things. It's one of my life verses. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, that word abide, it means to remain, it means to stay with, it means to walk with. Whoever abides in me, stays with me, remains in me, walks with me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Then he says this line that has transformed my life and the way I live. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, apart from a total dependence on Jesus Christ, church family, we are nothing. Personally, I am nothing. Paul says, 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, pray without ceasing. This means to live a life of prayer in absolute dependence on Jesus. And why should we do this? Why in the world would Paul tell us to pray without ceasing? Why? Because we need Jesus just as much as we need the air we breathe, church family. That's why we should pray without ceasing. Just like we never cease to breathe, we should never cease to stop praying and depending on Jesus. In everything we do, we need Jesus more than the air we breathe. John Piper says, prayer is the open admission that without Christ, we can do nothing. When we're praying, we're saying, God, without you, I'm hopeless. God, without you, this situation is hopeless. God, without you, I am nothing. That's what we are admitting whenever we pray. God, I need you desperately in every aspect of my life. Charles Spurgeon says, the power of prayer can never be overrated. If a man can but pray, he can do anything. So here's a question that I'm asking you this morning. And I want to maybe encourage you to even write something out after I ask you this question. My question is this. What do you need to see happen in your life in 2020? What do you need to see happen? Maybe there's something going on in your life that you just cannot seem to get past. What do you want to see God do in your life in 2020? Maybe it's something in your marriage. Would you pray? Would you pray for your marriage until you see a breakthrough? Maybe it's a relational issue. And I'm encouraging you to pray, to give that to God until you see God move in this relational issue. Maybe it's a specific need in your life. Maybe you need a job, or maybe you have these bills that are coming in, these medical bills, or you need a vehicle, or you need something in your life. You know what that is. Would you pray until you see God provide, until you see God's hand at work? Maybe you need wisdom on which direction to take. And I want to encourage you to pray and to lift that up in prayer until God shows you a clear direction, the clear path, the exact path that you are to take. Maybe it's an emotional issue that you're dealing with. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe you're experiencing some sort of just loneliness in your life. Maybe you're stressed over something that just keeps happening over and over. Maybe it's a family member or you fill in the blank. Maybe you're confused about something that's happened in your life. Maybe you're dealing with something like depression. Or maybe you are physically hurting, and I just want to encourage you today that you can take those issues to God in prayer, and He will help you. He will answer your prayer according to His ways, according to His glory, and in His timing. But God always comes through. He always comes through according to His timing and according to His glory. I love this verse in Psalm 55. The psalmist says, cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. So what is that? What's going on in your life? What burden do you have? And I just want to encourage you today to leave that burden at the altar today, to leave that burden at the foot of the cross and to say, God, I give this to You. God, you know this need that I have. God, you know this concern that I have. God, you know this issue that's going on. God, you know this family member that's lost. And God, I give this to You. And God, I just ask and pray that You will sustain me. And according to Your word, that You would not even allow me to be moved, that You would hold me safe, that You would hold me steadfast. God, I give this to You. And You can do that through prayer. As a church, this next year and the years beyond, I'm asking that we as a church would pray for salvations. That we would pray that people would come to know Christ through this local body of believers. I'm praying that we as a church would be able to see more people go from death to life, from darkness to light. I'm also asking as a church that we would pray for a revival of our culture. I mean, I believe what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And God can save that person who is lost. God can redeem our culture. God can restore our culture that has turned its back on God and is heading away from God. But we as the people of God are called to pray. We're called to pray for salvations. We're called to ask and to beseech of God that He would use us for the glory and the honor and the praise of His name. Oh, church family, would you pray for that in 2020? That we would see people go from death to life, from darkness to light. Would you pray, church family? Moody says this. He says, every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. Every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. I'm asking myself this, and I'm asking all of us this. Would you, in your prayer time, this next month, this next year in 2020, would you spend time on your knees praying for the glory of God in the life of this local body? Or should I say it like this, for the continued glory of God? That we as a church would be able to see people come to know Him. That we as a church would be able to see people have their lives transformed by the beautiful message of the gospel that Jesus Christ forgives, that He heals, that He redeems, that He restores, that He loves. Would you pray that, church family, on your knees? Every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. Nothing is impossible with God. Again, what do you need to be lifting up in prayer in 2020? Would you write that out in your bulletin somewhere and put that in your Bible and pray for that? Who do you need to be praying for this coming year? Would you write their name out somewhere in your bulletin and place that in your Bible and pray for them that God would move in their life, that God would save them? Again, I believe that you and I will have a banner year and a banner decade for the glory of God when we center our lives on the worship of God. by loving God every single day of our lives, by making corporate worship like we are doing here today our number one priority, by telling people about Jesus through evangelism, by serving the purposes of God through ministry, by doing life together through fellowship, by growing together in discipleship, and by depending on God in everything through prayer. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? And the greatest prayer that you could pray today is a prayer of repentance to God. Why do you need to do this if you never have? The Bible says that you and I are dead in our sin apart from Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we've all sinned. And the Bible says that because of our sin, we deserve to go to a very real place called hell. And the only way that you can have your sin forgiven is by calling on the name of Jesus Christ to save you. That's the gospel message. Jesus Christ forgives, he redeems, he restores, he loves you today. Would you just hear that? He loves you. Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And if you have never called on the name of Jesus Christ to save you from your sin, you can do that right now in this very moment. It's the greatest prayer that you could ever pray. It's a prayer of repentance to Jesus. Would you do that right now? Maybe you feel the Spirit of God drawing you to give up your life and to commit your life to Christ, to bow your knee to Christ and to follow him. You can call on him right now to save you. There's no magical prayer you pray. It's a prayer of faith. Would you just call on him by faith to save you from your sin? It'll be the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. The decision to follow Jesus, to make Jesus Christ your Lord, the boss and the guide of your life. Would you do that right now? Would you make a commitment this year to focus your life on the worship of God, personally and also corporately, on evangelism? Ask God right now just to use you in someone's life. Ask God to give you the opportunity to invite someone to church, to tell someone about Jesus, on ministry, on serving his purposes, on fellowship, on doing life with other believers. Again, we need each other. That's the way we're made. It's the way that we are wired. We need each other. On discipleship, are you taking steps to grow in your faith as God has called us to do so? What a joy, what a privilege to be able to do that. And lastly, what do you need to lift up in prayer this morning? Would you just give that to God right now? God, I give you this. God, would you help me with this? God, would you provide for this? Maybe it's a person. Would you just pray for them by name right now? God, I want to see so-and-so. I want to see their life change. God, would you do a work in their life? God, would you call them to come and know you? God, would you use me in their life somehow, some way? Would you just pray to God right now and make a commitment to continue to pray until you see God move? Maybe in just a few moments as we stand and we sing a praise, song of praise to God, maybe you want to come to this place, this altar up here by faith, and you just want to kneel and you just want to give 2020 to God. You just want to come forward and you just want to kneel and you want to give 2020 to God and say, God, use us, use my family, use me, use my business, use my home, use this church. God, we give it all to you. We give this next decade to you. Again, every movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. Would you come forward and would you, by faith, kneel at this altar and say, God, we give it all to you this next year. Use us for the glory of your name. God, use us to advance the gospel. Also, in just a few moments, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. We're going to have some prayer warriors up here. And if there is something going on in your life that you would just love someone to pray over with you, we would love to just voice a prayer with you this morning by faith. you come forward and receive that prayer. God, we love you. Thank you so much for calling us to be a part of what you are doing, God, here in our area and also all over the world. And Lord, we just commit this next year to you. We commit this next decade to you. And Father, we just ask and pray that you would use us, that you would use us in our families, God, and in our homes and our businesses, Father, and this church, God, for the glory of your name, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We give it all to you, God. We love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. And we say that we worship you today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Church family, would you stand to your feet as we sing to him, as we worship him?